You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome into the Prospect Profits presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Alec Polito, joined by my co-host, as always, Lorenz Leinweber. On today's show, we will be discussing NFL Week 5 and College Football Week 6. This is a daily podcast feed with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight into the NFL, college football, and fantasy football. We provide this feed ad-free, and we ask in return that you just leave us a five-star rating and check out our written content on si.com/NFL/draft. But before we get into what we're talking about today, before we discuss a crazy weekend of college football and NFL, Lorenz, how you doing, my man?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm still, you know, almost exhausted from that weekend. So many close games and so many crazy endings and interesting storylines all around the world of football, really. Last weekend, we're officially right in the thick of football season. It's October, you know, this is where it matters. And yeah, what a weekend. And I can't wait to get into it. How are you today, Alec?
Dude, I'm doing good. I was obviously not on the tailgate show this weekend, had prior obligations, but, you know, I feel like I missed a ton of football, but then again, I'm ready to go. Like I saw a lot. I'm excited to talk about it because there were some crazy finishes, outcomes of games and circumstances that led to players coming into games, players leaving games. Real excited to discuss it. First thing I want to discuss today is let's start with college football as we always do. Red River Rivalry. Oklahoma takes on Texas. And Oklahoma, number 4 in the nation right now, I think, or number 5 in the nation. They are 4, yeah. They come back and they win after being down 28-7. Spencer Rattler, just like last year in the Red River rivalry game, got to get that one down, gets benched for Caleb Williams, one of the top recruits, and I believe it was last year's recruiting class. And then they come back and win this game. I think the final score was 65-58. I could be wrong on that, though. Somewhere around there.
There was a ton
of points up there. Lorenz, you watch this game? Any thoughts on this game? I mean, we got to talk about the Rattler situation.
55-48 is what it ended up. Just a crazy game. I mean, Texas coming out, and I feel really bad for them, but they got a bright future. I mean, they did an outstanding job. Talk about their playmakers in this game. Casey Thompson, Bijan Robinson, and then Xavier Worthy, who was just moving different. I know he's just 160 pounds, but he's got the juice at the wide receiver position. They were off to a tremendous start. That defense was doing all right. I was playing as good as you can expect from a Big 12 defense, a little jab there. But they were up big time. They were looking to win this game. I mean, I was about ready to turn it off, but the Rattler storyline was just too interesting. They bring in Caleb Williams, this true freshman. He runs for, a 60-some yard touchdown? And suddenly, I mean, the momentum didn't turn there. It took a couple more crazy throws, but he looks ready, 18 or 19 years old, taking over for who a couple of people thought was going to be the number one overall pick. We'll get into that in a bit. But, man, he would look poised. He can run. He could throw it. I mean, just an unbelievable debut, and I don't think there's any way Oklahoma, they go back to Spencer Rattler. I mean, because Caleb Williams, he's going to be outstanding there for the next 2.5 years.
Yeah, and coming from someone here who preseason Spencer Rattler was my number one quarterback, and I'm not going to get into changing it right now. We'll wait till after the season, watch the tape, but I'm going to imagine that will get changed. it's so disappointing because as a scout, you project forward. And with Spencer Rattler, there's so much to project forward on. The arm is ridiculous. The throws that he can make are ridiculous. You can project a lot forward. Unfortunately, there's just been no growth, you know, and that's something that you need out of it. The arm is great. We need growth. We need growth in the game, and I haven't seen it from him, and I think you're right. I don't think you go back to Rattler at this point. Caleb Williams is the future and pushing forward, and now Caleb Williams starts his journey to try and be the next Oklahoma quarterback to go number one overall or high overall, as Lincoln Riley has put these guys in the league like a conveyor belt. But, you know, I think that that's a real interesting topic we're going to have to be getting into in our after-season scouting. What happened with Spencer Rattler? What is going on? And, you know, to be honest with you, does he still get drafted fairly highly in a quarterback class that's fairly weak? He might, but I don't think he can be your number one quarterback right now, especially with other concerns with Spencer Rattler. So it's a real interesting topic we'll have to get into. Speaking on the Texas side, I love the future that they've got. This is going to be a fun team very soon. Bijan Robinson is the best back in college football. I love him. I think that he is going to be the next like top 10 drafted back. I think that there won't be any this year, and I don't think that's saying much because I don't think we have a back that has that capability. So Bijan Robinson's ridiculous. And I'm excited to see what Steve Sarkisian can do here as his recruiting classes start to come in. But real disappointing for Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, I mean, Sark they're going to be all right. Texas is going to be a good program for the next couple of years. They got to fix that run defense, though, man. That was really a disgusting display of run defense. No other way to put it. And then, obviously, Williams was making those throws. But, yeah, for Rattler, it's a tough situation. I think he was going in sort of expecting to be the guy in that offense, but he's just constantly forcing it. And he's just not able to execute that offense. It's just tough to watch right now because I know I give guys like Matt Corral, for example, a little bit of – I've criticized him in the past for how little he's able to do outside that scheme. But got to give him some credit right now. Like a guy like Matt Corral executes Lane Kiffin's offense ruthlessly right now. Mm-hmm. And Spencer Rattler's just play in and play out. It's just unable to execute what the offense is putting out there. I don't know if that's an issue where he doesn't trust what Lincoln Riley is able to do, which if that's the case, I would just tell him, look, man, worked pretty well for the last three guys that were playing quarterback at Oklahoma. Yeah. So I don't know. There were always concerns with Spencer Rattler. Also, the talent was at the same point was undeniable. And I think still is. And that's still something that he can build on, but
sure.
He's probably going to have to find somewhere to transfer. I don't think he's going to go overly highly if he does come out. Someone might take a gamble on him on day two. But, man, it's just tough to draft a quarterback like Spencer Rattler right now at all. I mean, that would really have to be one team that's very confident and comfortable in fixing him. I mean, it's a weak class, so we don't know. But I don't know what his draft implications are right now. Luckily, he's still got he's got a lot of eligibility left. He can play for a couple of years if he can find a good fit, good Power 5 program to transfer to, and then maybe learn the lessons out of this, which last time he got benched, then the second half of his season went a lot better. Hey, maybe he somehow gets the starting job back for Oklahoma. We don't know right now, but I just have a tough time predicting that. So
it's so difficult because it's a different situation for him this time. Last time he was clearly benched to make him better. He was clearly benched to get him to light a fire, right?
Yeah.
I don't think this time he was benched for that because you have Caleb Williams in the building. Unfortunately for him, Caleb Williams is there. Last year that wasn't the case. You weren't bringing Caleb Williams in. This year you have him to bring in, and that arm is electric as well. So unfortunately for Rattler, this does not seem like a light a fire benching. It seems like hey, we need to win now benching. Hey, let's get into the next game here. And the fact that this is not, you know, on every headline would be bonkers to me, or if that was a fact. It clearly is on every headline. The Alabama Crimson Tide lost to Texas A&M, who was looking very disappointing for a team that had a ton of talent on this team. And then they go beat Alabama. It was at Texas A&M, but they beat them. And hey, Alabama is not undefeated. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time a Nick Saban assistant has actually, a former Nick Saban assistant has actually beat Nick Saban ever since he started off at Alabama, which that's a crazy stat and a crazy story that we can finally put to bed. Jimbo Fisher, just incredible what they were able to do. Alabama, look, they haven't been as dominant as Georgia has been, for example. Now, I can argue they've played some better teams, but we know Alabama struggled against Florida, then had a great game against Ole Miss. But now, once again, losing. I mean, look, that just is what it is. And it was just weird to see because they were able to run the ball. They did have some passing production, but it just wasn't enough at the end. It's just Texas A&M was just better. They executed better. They made the switch there. Quarterback got Zach Calzada in the game, and he played a great game. And Anaya Smith was big time. I think Jalen Weidermeyer had the best game of the season in that game, which was important. And then they get things like the kickoff return, couple balls bouncing their way, you know, a couple things happening. Special teams, you know, once again, it matters if you can steal points on there. And suddenly they come away with the win, game-winning field goal and whatnot. Still a close one. But, yeah, Texas A&M, this was kind of what we were all expecting going into the season. And they had some issues there at the quarterback spot. And it's not the only thing that they changed, but I think making that change gave the rest of the team a lot more confidence in them being able to have a fighting chance and in them being able to win this game. And they're still 4-2 now. So the season isn't over for A&M. If they are able to win out, you know, get a couple of big SEC wins, they can still make a New Year's Six Bowl despite that,
right,
that slow start. But yeah, I think the big storyline's Alabama and how they really surprisingly took the loss here. There's really, I mean, No one expected this, and I don't even really know what to say, what to analyze, man. I thought they were gonna win every game, and here we are. They didn't. Despite them really having, especially on offense, having decent output, they just weren't able on defense to get stops and to make plays with that star-studded secondary and that entire defense just didn't step up. And Texas A&M had a bit of luck, and there you go.
That's all you need sometimes in college football. But I won't harp too much on this game. It's shocking as ever, of course, that Alabama loses a game. But we did talk, and I say this every week, we talked a lot about Texas A&M in the preseason because there are a lot of really good players on this team. You talk about Anaya Smith, Isaiah Spiller, DeMarvin Leal, who's probably going to end up going top 10. There's much more. Jalen Weidermeyer, there's a lot of talent on this Texas A&M team. And the fact that they're going to play some competitive games in the SEC should not be shocking. This is a good team. And it's, you know, obviously I didn't expect them to beat Alabama. But Alabama, you're right, hasn't looked as dominant as Georgia. And now, you know, we could potentially see an Alabama-Georgia SEC championship game where if Alabama wins, both are probably getting in. But if Georgia wins that game, Alabama might not get in, even if they win out, because the thing that we got to talk about after this is, you know, Cincinnati only has one ranked match left, and they're already ranked up there. It would be very tough to knock them out, barring a crazy loss for them. Iowa is on the easier side of the Big Ten. They don't have a crazy amount left. They would have to, of course, win the Big Ten championship. And I mean, I think that Oklahoma is, it doesn't, you know, the Big 12 hasn't been as ridiculous this year where they're going to have some easier matchups left. Maybe Caleb Williams can lead them to that. Alabama's got to climb some ladders. They got to hope for some stuff. I think that if they win out and win the SEC championship game, Alabama's going to be in that game, the playoff, I should say. But, you know, right now, I would say they do need some things to happen. You know, Georgia is not a walkthrough game for them anymore. Georgia is a very talented team.
Yeah, I mean, it's they had margin for error to lose one game, right? And we expected potentially that might be the SEC championship game against Georgia.
Right.
Now they lose to Texas A&M. Now you got to win out. I'm with you. If you have this one loss on your resume and you lose to Georgia, two losses just won't get you in unless a couple of teams choke down the stretch here, which, you know, that's still possible.
Of course.
That's not out of the realm of possibilities. I could easily see Oklahoma lose another game, who are fourth right now. I could even see the committee, even if Cincinnati wins out, them rather putting Alabama in because we know what type of issues they've had putting in group of five schools. But I think Cincinnati is obviously the next thing we want to talk about here. And before we get into Penn State, Iowa, but they got one ranked matchup left against SMU from the looks of it right now. And they just got to handle business. I think they're a better team than SMU, although that offense any given day or any given Saturday can give you some issues. But they just got to handle business, win out, and then hope that the resume is strong enough and the committee, you know, doesn't screw them over with how they've treated group of five teams, as I just said. And then, going quickly into Iowa, Penn State, unless you want to say something about Cincinnati.
Well, I mean, no, I don't have much to say. I think that it's impressive what they have done. I think this team is impressive. I think they're a very talented team. And I would, you know, as a college football fan, I think it would be really cool to see a team like Cincinnati make it, because I do think that the NIL will allow these group of five teams to start competing at a higher level, because you can make that money wherever you go. If you're a nationally ranked recruit, you can make money at a lower tier school, because you're not, obviously you're not making money if you go to a Power Five school. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that it, you know, like if I'm a five-star recruit, I can make that money nationally. It doesn't matter where I am located, what school I go to. So you can go to schools like Cincinnati, go to schools in that group of five, where you can start to, you know, make some more competitive teams in college football, where you don't have to go to an Alabama for the exposure. But I'm not saying that Alabama is going to drop off the face of the earth. Nick Saban's an incredible recruiter. You still have the Power Five. It is going to be where most draft prospects are going to come from. But it is interesting to see a team like Cincinnati competing now with the NIL possibilities down the line. I mean, Cincinnati could very well become a school that's competing a lot. Not to mention, we've got a ton of talk about potential conference switch ups, you know, realignments. So it's just a real interesting team to talk about, but I am rooting for them. I think that it would be really fun to see them in the playoff. That's all I really have on them. Let's talk Iowa, Penn State. It was the game that everyone was excited for. I was a little bit upset I didn't get to be on the tailgate show this weekend, just because I wanted to talk about this game. So what we did instead was I talked about it on the podcast last week. So go check that out. I was, I believe, right. I picked Iowa to win this game.
I was just going to say, this is the one game I picked correctly, I think.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Iowa wins this game. Very defensive, heavy matchup. Both defenses looked very scary. But Sean Clifford went out in the third. And I don't believe he returned. I didn't get to see the game all throughout, but I don't believe he returned to the game.
He did not return, though.
Yeah, but Iowa still holds out and wins this game. And now, I mean, Iowa's in the weaker half of the Big Ten. You know, their schedule, they have some tough games remaining. But
I got it right here. Let me read it out, because this is very doable for now. Number two, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
They play Purdue next week. They're 3-2 Purdue, then 2-3 Wisconsin, might be their toughest game down the stretch. Northwestern, all of these are unranked. 2-3 Northwestern, that should be chalk as a win. Minnesota, I mean, that's one you can slip up, but 3-2 unranked Minnesota. Then they play Illinois, who are 2-5, and then 3-4 Nebraska has been getting. Nebraska has been getting a little bit better, but man, they've handled their business on the schedule. They beat Indiana, they beat Iowa State, Those were the big ones. And now they beat Penn State, four interceptions at home. That defense is just incredibly ball hawking. And now they're sitting pretty at number two in the country. And if they just win out, I don't see them losing that spot. I mean, they're, you know, Alabama, if they win the SEC, they might be second. But I mean, I think Iowa, if they win out, they're at least third. And there's going to be nobody that's going to have a stronger resume and a stronger case. Still got to do it. Still got to be able to execute.
Right.
And I mean, am I saying this, especially this offense, is really it wasn't great, you know. But if this defense can continue to get that many turnovers, which I sort of predicted going into this game, there are going to be a couple turnovers, two interceptions for Sean Clifford, two for the backup coming in. And they were able to take advantage and finally get that offense going a little bit and then squeeze out the 23-20 win, which was obviously huge. And Penn State, they've still got some opponents to get this right. They're still up there. But Iowa's really sitting pretty if they can just handle business and to make their first appearance in the college football playoff and what's been a crazy season so far.
Yeah, it would be really, I mean, I bet if there was someone who put a, like a parlay bet in putting Iowa and Cincinnati in the college football playoff preseason, they'd be sitting very pretty on amount of money that they could be making. And also, this is the part where you get through these games and you're like, wow, now it's looking pretty for us. So kudos to any bettors who did that. I did not, certainly, but there's a lot of talent in these teams. Penn State, just to talk about them real quick, they can still make their way back. The thing is that Penn State still has to play a huge schedule. And that is the benefit to, you know, for teams that have those very hefty schedules. The benefit is you're allowed to mess up, you know, you're allowed a loss. And they barely lose here to Iowa. They're going to have a ton of games left to make up for that. And if they win out and win the Big Ten, they're in. You know, they'll have the resume to do it. So that is at least, you know, the good thing about having a crazy schedule.
That was, I guess, the point I missed there. I mean, Iowa, they still got to play whoever it's going to be out of the Big Ten East.
Right.
And that might be Penn State again. That's not going to be easy. That might be Ohio State with that offense. Mm-hmm. Man, they're slowly picking up scheme, improving defensively.
Right.
That's going to be huge. And Michigan, they're also still unbeaten. So those are three. Those are another. I mean, yeah, it's not going to be easy for Iowa. And Michigan State also. Almost forgetting about Michigan State.
And Michigan, who's ranked nine.
Yeah. So
there's a lot of talent in the Big Ten this year. And we could probably do a whole we could probably do a whole show on the Big Ten with the amount of teams that could make it.
Imagine like it's Ohio State and they beat Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there's a couple slip-ups for the Oklahomas, maybe for Cincinnati, there might be two Big Ten teams going into the playoff if those two teams, if Ohio State wins out and then that's Iowa's. I mean, there's a lot of theorizing, but
hey, there's a possibility we could have two SECs, two Big Tens, and all this talk about a Group Five or Iowa getting in, and all of a sudden we get Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, and Michigan, you know, like it could happen
that way.
But let's just quickly talk about, we're not going to cover this game right now because we're going to cover it on the weekend show. Make sure you're tuning into the Tailgate Show every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. But Kentucky 6-0, Georgia 6-0. Georgia's been the most dominant team in college football this year. They've go and face Kentucky. What's your excitement level for this game? Let's not get into it because I do want us to cover it fully on the Tailgate Show, but excitement level 1 to 10. So let's say 10 being like, this is a ridiculously good matchup. 1 being like, this is going to be a blowout. Where's your excitement level on this?
Man, 3. Hate to say it. If one,
and I hate to say I'm with you on that. That's the
sad part. Here's why. I mean, look. Georgia's run defense and really their entire defense has just been ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And Kentucky's a good team. Don't take anything away from them. But I just made the mistake with Arkansas, and I think those two teams are on similar levels. We just saw what Arkansas was able to do against a subpar defense and Ole Miss putting up 500 yards. And, you know, they scored what? Did they even score? They score 0 against Georgia. I mean, I'm not expecting Kentucky to score 0, But it's at Kentucky. That's going to help.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Georgia's going to be winning this by 2-3 possessions potentially. Yeah.
No, I'm with you on it. We'll talk about it more on the tailgate show. But, yeah, I don't I want to be excited. And if Dal was listening, he obviously a big Kentucky fan of the show. He better
have the receipts if
right.
we're wrong.
Yeah, if we're wrong, you know, call us out on it. But yeah, no, I'm with you. I think it's like a 3. It's cool to see Kentucky ranked, I guess. But yeah, let's move over quickly to the NFL. Not a ton of NFL topics to discuss. First thing before we get into rookie showouts and standouts for the week, I just want to know: did you see the Packers Bengals the end of that game?
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. I mean, yeah. I've never seen such terrible kicking.
Bad kicking week in a hole for the NFL, and it was clearly on display.
I think 14 missed extra points, and that one ridiculous. Was just crazy. I mean, the most ridiculous one was the rookie kicker for the Bengals celebrating after a miss. I mean, they did show it from the other angle, from behind the goalpost, so it was pretty obvious that one was no good, but boy. I mean, it's just sometimes you live by the kicker and sometimes you die by the kicker. You know, it's right. really like that. If you have a guy like Justin Tucker, that stuff doesn't happen. But I guess luckily for the Packers, it was on both sides. And man, but I got to give some credit to this Bengals team. I mean, this was a team that I didn't expect to be this good. And they could easily be 4-1 right now. And Joe Burrow is playing amazingly. Jamar Chase is looking good. You still want a better offensive line. You still want more rushing output.
Can you imagine not having Jamar Chase as your wide receiver 1 going into last year's draft? It's kind of, you know, wild. Can you imagine? Oh, was that you?
I definitely didn't hate
Jamar Chase, though. I don't want to call you out on it. But, hey, he's been phenomenal. I had him as a top 5 player, you know. No big deal.
He was still like my 7th player on my board. I mean, he's been really good. I mean, not to take anything away from it. He's been outstanding. A couple of rookies were really good this week.
Yes. And real quick before we get into the rookies, one more thing I just wanted to say is this is a scouting show. The best thing about scouting is talking about your wins. Sometimes you got to talk about your losses, man. Justin Herbert, I had him ranked 4th in that quarterback class. I was very scared of him, barely a first round grade on him. He looks like one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Point blank, a period.
He just keeps doing what he's doing, and he was even missing a couple of throws, but his just big play ability going to Mike Williams. So that guy's just, if he's healthy and that offense is just such a great fit, is really impressive. I mean, they had a great game.
No, for sure. And let's quickly talk about two rookies here, both Florida rookies, showed out. First, we got, Kyle Pitts, a friend of the show. I don't know if he's watching, but, he was on the show and, 9 receptions, 119 yards and a touchdown, obviously an injury riddled Atlanta team goes to London and, Pitts showed out and as he should, and as he will continue to for his career, cause he is a phenomenal player. Pitts looked really good. The other Florida rookie on my team, which I don't even want to start discussing that game, but one bright spot and maybe the only bright spot, Kadarius Toney looked phenomenal other than the, you know, getting thrown out and he's probably going to get put in the doghouse and the snap count's probably going to drop. And I hate that because, you know, just let the kid play because he's clearly the most talented player right now on this offense with Saquon out. Kadarius Toney, his reception is 189 yards, and he looks untouchable with the ball in his hand. Was making really good cornerbacks and really good defensive backs look silly in his routes. I'm speaking more on Kadarius Toney because I watched that game fully. I did not fully watch the Kyle Pitts game, but if you did, by all means, talk about it, Lorenz. But Kadarius Toney looks phenomenal.
Yeah, Pitts. I mean, this was expected, right? Now his 5th game, he's a month into the season, I know they were going to him even more, but they've been targeting him heavily, and he did what he does. He can win in every way, deep downfield. He can win as a route runner. He can be a security blanket underneath underneath, and he was just showing that. And yeah, Kadarius Toney just with the ball in his hands as a route runner, you got to get him involved more. Just giving you easy yardage if you can get him the matchups. And there was a lot of criticism for Kadarius Toney coming out, and obviously it's not great punching a guy, but I mean, man, if you didn't see it with him and with his route running and flexibility and just the juice that he has, go watch his film again, because that's
yeah, we did not miss on him. We talked about him a lot. We both said, I think, I remember us talking about this after the draft that, you know, I think 20 was too high for him, but I don't think 25 would have been too high.
I liked him in the 20s. I think that's where I had him ranked. And, you know, he's going to continue to do maybe not 189 yards, but he's going to continue to be a good weapon for this team if he can stay healthy and stop punching people. Yeah, I mean, Kadarius Toney, this was a breakout performance. They're finally getting him on the field. A little bit of weird stuff, you know, maybe he was slow picking up the playbook. Mm-hmm. Still a long way to go. I mean, I don't want to take the victory lap just yet, but both these guys, both these Gators.
I just hope that he doesn't get
doghoused
on this because of the punch. I mean, look, was it a terrible punch? Yeah. Should he have punched a guy? No.
Don't punch dudes when they have their helmet. Yeah, like, don't punch people, but like, if they still have their helmet on, that's just stupid.
Yeah. But hey, at least it's a bright spot for the Giants. I do want to give some well wishes to Daniel Jones there. That looked like a scary injury. He was obviously stumbling. It looked like that was a concussion that could keep him out a couple weeks for sure. But that's all we got today. Hey, love talking college football, NFL with you, Lorenz, but for the people, and hopefully they enjoy it. Make sure you're tuning in every Tuesday to listen to us. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Prospect Profits presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. Like I said, we will be back next week on Tuesday, but be sure to tune in here tomorrow for our friends on the Dynasty Draft Room. We'll be back with you on Thursday. And then again, for this tailgate show on Saturday, be sure to check us out there. And stay tuned for some more content that we're going to have coming out. Hopefully some interviews as the season goes on. Hopefully some more coverage on the tailgate show and football. And as we start to get film in, hopefully some more tape breakdowns for you. We'd love to get into doing that. But hey, stay tuned and we'll see you on Thursday.